Chapter 36. The Land of Culture. Too far did I fly into the future. A horror seized upon me. And when I looked around me, lo, their time was my sole contemporary. Then did I fly backwards, homewards, and always faster. Thus did I come to you, you present-day men, and into the land of culture. For the first time brought I an eye to see you, and good desire. Verily, with longing in my heart did I come. But how did it turn out for me? Although so alarmed, I had yet to laugh. Never did mine eyes see anything so motley colored. I laughed and laughed, while my foot still trembled, and my heart as well. Here, forsooth, is the home of all the paint-pots, said I. With 50 patches painted on faces and limbs, so sat you there to mine astonishment, you present-day men, and with 50 mirrors around you, which flattered your play of colors, and repeated it. Verily, you could wear no better masks, you present-day men, than your own faces. Who could recognize you? Written all over the characters of the past, and these characters also penciled over with new characters, thus have you concealed yourselves well from all decipherers. And though one be a trier of the reins, who still believes that you have reins? Out of colors you seem to be baked, and out of glued scraps. All times and people gaze divers colors out of your veils. All customs and beliefs speak divers colors out of your gestures. He who would strip you of veils and wrappers and paints and gestures would just have enough left to scare the crows. Verily, I myself am the scared crow that once saw you naked and without paint, and I flew away when the skeleton ogled at me. Rather would I be a day laborer in the nether world and among the shades of the bygone. Fatter and fuller than you are, forsooth, the nether worldlings. This, yea, this, is bitterest to my bowels, that I can neither endure you naked nor clothed, you present-day men. All that is unhomelike in the future, and whatever makes strayed birds shiver, is verily more homelike and familiar than your reality. For thus you speak. Real are we wholly, and without faith and superstition. Thus do you plume yourselves, alas, even without plumes. Indeed, how would you be able to believe, you divers colored ones? You, who are pictures of all that has ever been believed. Preambulating refutations are you, of belief itself, and a dislocation of all thought. Untrustworthy ones, thus do I call you, you real ones. All periods prate against one another in your spirits, and the dreams and prating of all periods were even realer than your awakeness. Unfruitful are you, therefore do you lack belief. But he who has to create had always his presaging dreams and astral premonitions and believed in believing. Half-open doors are you at which gravediggers wait, and this is your reality. Everything deserves to perish. Alas, how you stand there before me, you unfruitful ones, how learn your ribs? And many of you surely have had knowledge thereof. Many a one has said, there has surely a God flinched something from me secretly whilst I slept, verily enough to make a girl for himself therefrom. Amazing is the poverty of my ribs. Thus has spoken many a present-day man. Yea, you are laughable to me, you present-day men, and especially when you marvel at yourself. And woe to me if I could not laugh at your marveling, and had to swallow all that is repugnant in your platters. As it is, however, I will make lighter of you, since I have to carry what is heavy. And what matter if beetles and maybugs also alight on my load? Verily, it shall not on that account become heavier to me. And not from you, you present-day men, shall my great weariness arise. Ah, whither shall I now ascend with my longing? From all mountains do I look out for fatherlands and motherlands. But a home have I found nowhere. Unsettled am I in all cities, and decamping at all gates. Alien to me and a mockery are the present-day men, to whom of late my heart impelled me. And exiled am I from fatherlands and motherlands. Thus do I love only my children's land, the undiscovered and the remotest sea. For it do I bid my sails search and search. To my children will I make amends for being the child of my fathers, and to all the future for this present day. Thus spoke Zarathustra. Chapter 37. Immaculate Perception. When yester-eve the moon arise, then did I fancy it about to bear a sun, so broad and teeming did it lie on the horizon. But it was a liar with its pregnancy, and sooner will I believe in the man in the moon than in the woman. To be sure, little of man is he also, the timid night reveler. Verily with a bad conscience does he stalk over the roofs, for he is covetous and jealous, the monk in the moon, covetous of the earth and all the joys of lovers. Nay, I like him not, that tomcat on the roofs. Hateful to me are all that slink around half-closed windows. Piously and silently does he stalk along the star carpets, but I like no light-treading human feet, on which not even a spur jingles. Every honest one's step speaks. The cat, however, steals along over the ground. Lo, cat-like does the moon come along, and dishonestly. This parable speak I to you, sentimental dissemblers, to you, the pure discerners. You do I call covetous ones. Also, you love the earth and the earthly. I have divined you well, but shame is in your love, and a bad conscience. You are all like the moon. To despise the earthly has your spirit been persuaded, but not your bowels. These, however, are the strongest in you. And now is your spirit ashamed to be at the service of your bowels, and goes byways and lying ways to escape its own shame. That would be the highest thing for me, so says your lying spirit to itself, to gaze upon life without desire, and not like the dog with hanging out tongue. To be happy in gazing, with dead will, free from the grip and greed of selfishness, cold and ashy gray all over, but with intoxicated moon eyes. That would be the dearest thing to me. Thus does a seduced one seduce himself, to love the earth as the moon loves it, and with the eye only to feel its beauty. And thus do I call immaculate perception of all things, to want nothing else from them, but to be allowed to lie before them as a mirror with 100 facets. O, you sentimental dissemblers, you covetous ones! You lack innocence in your desire, and now do you defame desiring on that account. Verily, not as creators, as procreators, or as jubilators do you love the earth. Where is innocence? Where there is will to procreation. And he who seeks to create beyond himself has for me the purest will. Where is beauty? Where I must will with my whole will, where I will love and perish, that an image may not remain merely an image. Loving and perishing, these have rhymed from eternity. Will to love, that is to be ready also for death. Thus do I speak to you cowards. But now does your emasculated oogling profess to be contemplation, and that which can be examined with cowardly eyes is to be christened beautiful. O, you violators of noble names! But it shall be your curse, you immaculate ones, you pure discerners, that you shall never bring forth, even though you lie broad and teeming on the horizon. Verily, you fill your mouth with noble words, and we are to believe that your heart overflows, you cozeners. But my words are poor, contemptible, stammering words. Gladly do I pick up what falls from the table at your repasts. Yet still can I say therewith the truth to dissemblers. Yea, my fish bones, shells, and prickly leaves shall tickle the noses of dissemblers. Bad air is always about you and your repasts. Your lascivious thoughts, your lies, and secrets are indeed in the air. Dare only to believe in yourselves and in your inward parts. He who does not believe in himself always lies. A God's mask have you hung in front of you, you pure ones. Into a God's mask has your execrable coiling snake crawled. Verily you deceive, you contemplative ones. Even Zarathustra was once the dupe of your godlike exterior. He did not divine the serpent's coil with which it was stuffed. A God's soul, I once thought I saw plain in your games, you pure discerners. No better arts did I once dream of than your arts. Serpent's filth and evil odor the distance concealed from me, and that a lizard's craft prowled thereabouts lasciviously. But I came near to you, then came to me the day, and now it comes to you, an end is in the moon's love affair. See there, surprised and pale does it stand, before the rosy dawn. For already she comes, the glowing one. Her love to the earth comes. Innocence and creative desire is all solar love. See there, how she comes impatiently over the sea. Do you not feel the thirst and the hot breath of her love? At the sea would she suck, and drink its depths to her height. Now arises the desire of the sea with its thousand breasts. Kissed and sucked would it be by the thirst of the sun. Vapor would it become, and height, and path of light, and light itself. Verily, like the sun do I love life, and all deep seas. And this means to me knowledge. All that is deep shall ascend to my height. Thus spoke Zarathustra.